Wherever we live, wherever we are, we all share the same responsibility. Make our planet great again.
French President Emmanuel Macron there with a message after the United States withdrew from the Paris Climate Accords. Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick with you. And President Macron wasn't just goading Americans led by President Trump there. This week, Macron granted 18 climate scientists long-term research grants to carry out their work in France. They're actually called Make the Planet Great Again grants, and 13 of them went to U.S.-based scientists. But thousands of researchers applied, and that's not a big surprise, because a steady lack of funding for climate science over several administrations means fewer permanent research jobs, and now other countries like France are looking to take advantage. Our new credentials series looks at the future of work and education along with the Joyce Foundation. So we talked to Switzerland-based journalist Sean Mowbray, who's written about what he calls the climate science brain drain from the environmental news site Mongabay. I asked Sean, what does this brain drain look like?
Well, it's really manifesting itself in a few different ways. There's the simple aspect of scientists leaving or looking to leave the United States and pursue opportunities abroad. But then there's also what could be called an in-house brain drain, as particularly young scientists are pursuing different careers as money becomes tighter, or they're looking to move into the private sector due to a lack of federal jobs or funding.
So somebody who wants to stick in climate science and is finding it tough in the United States might go and study in Europe or get a grant in Europe and do their work elsewhere. Or if they're young enough, might just abandon the field altogether and apply their skills in some other field.
Exactly. That's kind of the situation that we're looking at the moment, with funding being tight as it is and potentially getting tighter with the cuts that are proposed by the Trump administration.
But you say this problem didn't start with the Trump administration by any means.
Yeah, of course, it's easy to point the finger at Trump, but Obama's record on science funding was also sketchy. That wasn't through lack of trying. But in fact, there's a study from 2013, which is quite interesting. It looked at 3,700 scientists, not all in the field of climate science, but around 20% of those people questioned were saying they were thinking of leaving the U.S. at that time to continue their research or look for jobs. And that was in 2013. So these concerns of funding have been around for some time.
And Sean, how important is federal research funding to the whole field of climate science? I mean, if federal research funding goes down 8%, does it get made up elsewhere, or is that really, really mission critical?
The federal funding in the U.S. is definitely critical. It's the lion's share of funding for science and for climate science. I don't think that this funding would be able to be made up by private funding or other sources. I think it would definitely be critical for the field.
Well, I want to bring in Tripti Bhattacharya. Tripti is a postdoctoral climate scientist at the University of Arizona who is pursuing work both in the United States and outside the U.S. right now. Tripti, is that right?
That's correct.
And so at the point, Dr. Bhattacharya, that you're at in your career right now, looking for postdoctoral fellowships or postdoctoral work, what's the funding situation for you and how is it affecting your ability to advance your research?
Personally, I was lucky enough to help write a grant that got funded by the NSF, so I'm set for about 2 years. But across the board, I've heard about cuts to postdoctoral fellowship programs and funding agencies. Cuts to, for instance, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration resulted in cuts to a really well-known postdoctoral fellowship program. So funding is getting tighter across the board, and it's making it harder to find positions.
And can you tell me a little bit about your work? What is it that you do?
So I study tropical rainfall variability and monsoon systems, and I study past instances of climate change in the geologic record to understand the mechanisms that govern rainfall variability.
And let's just be clear, in the data that you're compiling now, do you see irrefutable evidence of climate change?
Yeah, that's a running thread through most climate scientists' work.
So as you're trying to compile these data, trying to do your research, money's getting tighter. Talk about your day-to-day life, just the practicalities of considering, at least, having to go elsewhere to continue.
So on a daily basis, I don't think the funding situation's affecting what I do. So I still work in lab. I still write papers. There's definitely a lot more pressure, though, to start writing grants really early in your career. So I put in a grant this year, And in terms of applying for permanent jobs as faculty, we're seeing a tighter situation in the United States. So that led me to consider jobs in Canada and the UK as alternatives.
And we should just point out, Tripti, you're talking about writing grants earlier in your career. When you're in academic research like you, it's not always a question of applying for a job, interviewing for a job, getting hired for a job. Sure, that's part of it, but you've got to have the conduit of research money that you can either obtain or bring with you for a department to want to take you on.
Exactly, especially for postdocs. So in many cases, a faculty member may want to hire you, but can't because there isn't the revenue stream or the funding to do so. So you might spend 2 or 3 years trying to get a grant together and get it funded that supports your position.
So there's a bottom line factor here that means real jobs.
Exactly.
So before I let you go, let me ask each of you on the effects on the science for this brain drain. Sean, you know, it's pretty clear the United States might miss out on the type of research that Tripti's doing if the Tripti's of the world leave. But it's one planet, and, you know, you might say, well, if the research has to be done in France or in Germany or in the UK or somewhere else, at least it'll get done.
Yeah, we have to understand that this is an incredibly possible thing, that if people are willing to move, there's actually studies that show that people who research abroad from their home country then doing better research. So I think that for the field of climate science in general, there are countries out there who are acknowledging that climate science is important, and that can only be an incredibly positive thing because, like you say, climate change doesn't stop at borders. So in my view, neither should scientists nor science.
Tripti, how does the United States lose out, do you think, in terms of the quality of the science that we produce or really just solutions to the problems that you're researching if people like you go to Canada or the UK like you may wind up doing?
So I want to emphasize that not everyone is mobile. Getting used to a new academic culture and funding agencies in other countries is difficult. And there's also a personal cost to uprooting your life. We're not wholly mobile, and you might actually lose a lot of scientists from science more generally by cutting funding in the United States. The other issue is that the United States has long been a leader in science in general, but especially climate science, with some of the top modeling groups and some of the top scientists being in this country. And I think we really miss out on the social benefits of that research if we stop funding climate science. And those include an improved ability to predict extreme events like droughts and floods, like we've seen in the past year, and understanding the future of our natural resources. So really, if we want to keep the country strong, so to speak, we need to be investing in basic science.
Tripti Bhattacharya, climate researcher at the University of Arizona. Dr. Bhattacharya, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And Sean Mowbray with the environmental news site Mongabay. Sean, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.